name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We're going to speak about the truth. I was just, arguably the greatest tennis player that has ever lived. It's not Roger Federer. It's not Bjorn Borg. It's not any of those names. It's a woman named Margaret Court. She has 20 championships in both singles and doubles under her belt. No man or woman in the history of tennis has ever equaled Margaret Court, the Australian. In her later years, she became an evangelical. She was told that she had a torn heart valve and it would have to be replaced. And someone prayed over her, a Christian, because she at this time didn't have anything to do with church. And she received the healing, and that changed her life. She went to a school. She's not of our faith in the sense that she is an evangelical, and she is she's of that ilk that believes in, you know, glossolalia, speaking in tongues. She practices things that we do not do. But this is not why I mention this as preparatory remarks before I get into the gospel. See, Margaret Court was attacked. Now, she has a church that many people have found comfort in, and there are many great stories of faith that have come out of her church. She helps the homeless. It's an amazing amount of work that she does. And the woman that was interviewing her for this television program, I happen to know that she is a lesbian. So when Margaret Court was talking about homosexuality, she was so offended. But she couldn't say anything because she was the interviewer. So what did she do? She brought in Billie Jean King, who was the... You probably don't remember. But Billie Jean King was the mother of the new age female tennis players. And then also Martina Navratilova, who just recently married a woman about 6 years ago. So they brought these two women on, who are probably as big a name in tennis, at least for your generation, as Margaret Court was to a previous one. Although Margaret Court's record is greater than Navratilova's or Billie Jean King's. And they spoke in the most condescending terms. And they said, oh, she's done this and this and this. But you know what she is? She's a raging homophobe. She's a raging homophobe. I am a raging homophobe. Do you know who makes me a raging homophobe? Jesus. Jesus. Have you read the first chapter of the book of Romans? These are not my words. If these words were somehow expurgated by the Holy Spirit, it wouldn't affect me. As a matter of fact, on a personal note, if I were going to take something out of the Bible, it would be about brawlers or people who can't control their physicality, because I'm more in that group than am I in any other of the groups that are mentioned that aren't going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. But the point of a view of this article was, it is up to each one of you to define truth. Each one of you is free to define truth from the point of view of those two women that I just mentioned. Because if you can define truth, then you can look at the Bible and you can decide which verses you don't need, and you can cut them out yourself. That's what expurgation means. To purge. Sprinkle me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Purge me. Purge me. Remove this from me. Vomiting is purgation. Take Epicac or something and it's a... But my point is that this woman, Margaret Court, put in such an embarrassing position by two of the other greatest women tennis players, what can she do? Can she deny the Bible? And the answer is no. So let's go here. There was a man who was born blind. And Jesus wanted to do something, because if you read the end of the 8th chapter, this is a continuation, it said he was almost stoned to death because he said, before Abraham was, I am. And the Jews went nuts. They said, is this not Jesus, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, before Abraham was, I am? And they picked up stones to stone him. And he walked out. And when he walked out, he saw the blind man and he sought to do something that was going to mollify all of the anger, because what he intended to do without hurting people is just to essentially confuse them. If somebody's angry with you and behind your back you have a present, now they don't know how to respond. Do I continue my anger or do I get this present? It's confusing, right? Because the person has, unless of course you're talking about married people, and that's a whole different direction that we have to go. But if somebody's offering something to you, the same person that made you angry, you don't automatically become calm, but the anticipation of a gift is something that takes away some of that. So he gave all of these people a gift. Nobody had ever heard of a man who was born blind regaining his sight. So this is what happened. But the Jews said, well, but how did it happen? Because again, they have this, you know, this engine that was started by the first thing, before Abraham was, I am. That engine of anger, instead of just being amazed, and instead of just, you know, falling down flat, I want a detailed analysis of this situation, because it can't be as it seems. What is truth? Pilate asked. All right, so who is this man? He seems different. You know, the fathers have always commented that, of course he's different. He sees. When you first fall in love with somebody, you see them for the first time. Archbishop Anthony Bloom described going through a town one night where there were a bunch of cathedrals. He was in France, of course, you know that, in World War II, and he was with the resistance. But there were all these cathedrals, and because of bombing, they were blackened. He marveled, because he looked at the stained glass windows, and they were without any kind of, they didn't touch him. They were beautiful stained glass windows. But you know, it has to have light to shine through before you see the beauty. When the light inside the church is dimmed, it just looks like broken pieces of glass held together with lead. What's that? Not very impressive. But when light comes, and when somebody is enlightened, they change. The countenance changes. Have you... Well, Christmas at my house this year was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. My younger grandson, Giovanni, was 3 years old. He got some presents. And when he opened up the presents, his face just lit. And we have this, of course. There's always a woman around with a camera. So we have this as a memory. But you see the light, the brightness, it's like just an overflowing of emotion that infects everybody. So he looked different. So they said, well, who is he? Is this the one who uses something? Yeah. Okay. No, I don't think so. He didn't. I never saw him act that way. You know, and everybody's got a doppelganger, right? You know what that means. So what happened? There are two narratives in here. One is the Lord's, and the others is the one to whom the miracle happened. They are identical. They are identical. The Lord picked up some clay, mixed it with his saliva, and made an eye. What did the blind man say? He put put clay on my face and now I see. How did he know? Because clay has an odor, does it not? It doesn't smell the same. If you smell clay, it does not smell the same as dirt. And he could feel it. He had that sense, probably way beyond what we imagine. But he answered the Jews exactly. So it says here, we've got to find a way. We've got to find a way to discredit this person. Bring his parents. Now, it was a fact that if anybody would declare that Jesus Christ were Lord, or the Messiah, the expected one, the anointed one, that he would be cast out. And so for fear of the Jews, the parents didn't answer. Well, we know he's our son, and we know that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we do not know. Have you ever gotten tired when you hear stories? You know, Donald Trump calls it fake news, but you hear stories over and over and over, and there is no veracity, and you do not get accounts of people lining up. Well, look at this. It is word for word. How did he open your eyes? They asked. When they asked him a second time, he said, I told you and you didn't believe. You know, that's what they do in interrogations, whether it's a police interrogation or any other kind of interrogation. They ask you the same questions repeatedly to see if there's going to be any variation in your answer. Because if you are telling the truth, there cannot, by definition, be any variation. So they ask him a second time, or a third time. So they asked him, they asked his parents, they asked people around. They asked everybody. They did not want to believe the truth. The truth is such a simple thing that it confounds everyone who tries to come up against it. Imagine that we're not talking about Jews and Pharisees now, but we're talking about you sitting in a giant hall, and convened in front of you are all of the senators of the United States, and you're being called before a committee to give testimony. And each one of the senators that is on that committee has a right to ask you the number of questions that will satisfy them, their own curiosity, and that of their constituents. Instead of falling back on the Fifth Amendment, you say, yes, he put clay on my eyes, told me to go wash at Siloam, and now I see. How simple a story is that? But what great beauty there is in the fact that there wasn't one word that was changed. You know, now I've only heard of this, and I don't know very much about it, so if I'm talking out of school, somebody has the freedom, or anybody has the freedom, to stand up and correct me. But I've heard there's this Muslim guy who is a new convert, and he's in some churches, and he's going around talking about he sees things. Bring this guy to me. Bring this guy to me. Because I will denude him in front of you. I've been through this many times in the past. Many times. They're all gone. They are all gone. Ask your mothers about the miracle of the Virgin in Port Said. Her name was Samia, and apparently oil came from her like Exxon Valdez when it ran aground in Alaska. You don't know what I'm talking about, do you? Well, ask somebody who's older. One of the things that people want when God enters into their life is they're looking for an arena, and they are looking for a pedestal. So they may shout the glory of God, because insofar, and this is what you get in advertising, it's called product placement. Remember, there's colas, and colas are the dominant drink in the marketplace. So 7-Up was called the un-cola. You remember those? Cola and un-cola. You stand up and you say, God has done great things for me. And then there's some sort of self-aggrandizement that it concomitantly attaches itself to that thing. So it's not just you and God. It's not just God, but it turns out to be me. Look at me. I was distinguished. I am special. Amongst all of the people, he's given me this. Do you know what happens to the person's soul that does such a thing? It becomes corrupt, because God doesn't come every day. And after a while, it becomes despondent. And after a while, that same soul fights against God. Because now God has done something bad. God has abandoned me. And in all of those cases that I've mentioned, that's what ultimately happened. Those who were lifted up, those who were advertised, they all left the church. They all left the church. Every single one. They were here like a flash in a pan. Give it 2 years. If it takes longer than that, I'll give you $100 each. Who are sitting here, each. This guy will not last, and it's a shame. Because even if it were true, if it were true that he was seeing things, some priest should have grabbed him by the collar and just said, shut up. Do not say such a thing. Do not go forward with this. Keep this. If it is meant to go forward, the opportunity will present itself to everyone. But by opening up this door, what you do is, at the very least, if it is true, you invite all of the temptation of hell itself upon your head. Every satanic temptation will come to you because of this. This is why we don't ever call anybody a saint until after they have departed. We don't call them wonder workers until after they have departed. It's because of the multiplication of wars that they are going to have to face. So you have people that, and maybe I'm one of them. If something great happened to me, I don't know if I could restrain myself. I don't know if I just wouldn't be bouncing up and down like a pogo stick. I don't want to say that I'm immune to these things, but every time such a thing would happen, it's bad. It's very bad. And there's none of this in the narrative. In all of the 38 verses that you prayed, or that you heard prayed, all of these things are done with a particular softness and discretion. This happened, then this happened, then this happened. There was no fanfare. Nothing like this. The truth does not need to be embellished. The truth does not need to be decorated. The truth only needs to be given a forum for equal time for its presentation. Let me tell you about my Lord. It's a shame. It's a shame that the the people who he came to, as it says in St. John's Gospel in the beginning, he came unto his own and his own received him not. He came unto his own. Imagine you knocking at the door of your parents' home and they open the door, they see your face, and then they close the door. Imagine that. Imagine the pain and the suffering of that. You are not our son. Yes, I am. I'm the son of David. I'm the son of man. I am the son. Watch. Listen. And behold. And listen again. The simplicity of the blind man, given his sight. And the Lord says, do you believe? Do you believe in the Son of God? The Son of God. When did this triune message begin? Somebody coming up to somebody who had only been raised in the theology of the Jews, who was not even able to say the word God. They're not able to write down the word God. They could not say it because of the commandment, you shall not take the Lord your God's name in vain. And now do you believe on the Son of God? Yes. A remarkable man with a remarkable character. We have to be like this. There are so many things that we want to believe as children, like fairy tales, but we have to believe the truth. And when the truth comes, we have, if there is tension in us, it is because our ego has entered into the fray. And we want and we desire the death and the diminishing of the ego so that we may truly be disciples. And we truly be witnesses to our Lord's glory. Glory be to his holy name, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.